it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez. Joining him this evening will be technical editor Carrie Pace and educator Lori Fisher.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien, and happy storm day to everybody. Remember, if this is the end of the world, you couldn't have found a better place to spend that last hour. So we hope you will join us over the course of the next 60 minutes. We will try to entertain you with some reasonably good questions, and hopefully you'll give us some reasonably good answers in response. And just to remind you of the two phone numbers involved, one is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, in spite of all this, we still have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Also would like to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So again, that it's mindsovermatter1. That is the numeral one. So that is gmail.com. And of course, if you'd like to hear us online, you can simply turn on your radio, or you can just go on your phone or wherever. Just go to kalw.org. And of course, the show should be right there in live stream. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast after the show, if this isn't enough, that should be available reasonably soon tonight after our show, also at kalw.org. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. I just want to remind you to give us a call as early as you can. I suspect most of you are actually home today. So if you have that time to spare, give us a call as soon as you can, because the sooner you call, the sooner you will get on the show. And so please do that. Just to remind you once more, the numbers 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. And the first intro is right here in front of me. Kira Pace will be here tonight unless she isn't. Kira Pace is working against all odds. Power went out in Pacifica for a little while. But she's back on. She's
several times.
Yeah, several times. She's hoping it'll be for the next hour, but we'll see.
The show must go on. That's Kira's tattoo, I believe.
Yeah. It's on my back. Lori Fisher, your East Coast Minds Over Matter correspondent, is happy to report that Philadelphia does indeed have two things that California does not: Autumn and his grandchildren.
Boy, is that true. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that this may not be the day to let a smile be your umbrella.
All right. And all that being said, we will start with Kira Pace. Kira, get those questions out as quickly as you can.
All right. I'm going to start with my two-parter, my intro plus list question. In 1975, computer scientist Martin Newell created a mathematical model of what familiar item? Since then, a version of this item has shown up in a variety of animated pieces, from Monsters, Inc. to Pixar's Toy Story to The Sims 2 to an episode of The Simpsons.
So this mathematical model was of something in science or architecture? Can you give
us
a
hint? It is a normal, everyday object. Some sort of object that I am assuming we all have, at least all of us here probably have one.
Was there a point to this, Kira? I mean,
he was looking for something that had specific curves to it because he's creating a three-dimensional model of it on his computer. It's like it's an early three-dimensional model.
Is it a household item? Is it inside our house?
Item.
It is.
Yep.
And everybody listening has it in their household, right?
I'm not going to say everybody has it, but I'd say probably most of our listeners have it.
All right, go over the whole thing once more, if you don't mind.
That's just the open. That's just the
that's
leading
just the question. Opening question. The leading question. I'll get to the part that the rest of it. Sorry. Nope. In 1975, computer scientist Martin Newell created a mathematical model of what familiar item. Since then, a version of this item has shown up in a variety of animated pieces, from Monsters, Inc. to Toy Story to The Sims 2 to an episode of The Simpsons. So looking for this. What kind of item it is.
So this is something you would find, as Lori asked you earlier, in the house.
It is in the house.
And is the item from nature or is it a man-made item?
Man-made item.
Okay.
So why? Sorry.
It's curvy. It's curvy.
But it has curves.
It has curves.
Is it a piece of cutlery, like a spoon?
It is not. It is not a spoon.
And nothing like that, right?
It's not a spoon. It's not a piece of silverware. No.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So while you're thinking about that, I have some director trademarks for you. So let me get my list question out now. I have a list of, what is this? Seven. Yes. I have seven director trademarks. So I'm going to tell you what the trademark is and you tell me the director. Here we go. The first is Cillian Murphy with a bag over his head. Cillian Murphy with a bag over his head. The next is CRM 114. CRM 114. The next is a double dolly shot. A double dolly shot. In case you don't know what that is, it creates the appearance that a motionless character is moving through space as the background glides past. So double dolly shot. The next one. See you next Wednesday. See you next Wednesday. Number five is Jimmy the Raven. There's a raven named Jimmy. Jimmy the Raven. And the next one is White Doves. And the final director trademark, Helicopters at Sunrise. So quickly, Cillian Murphy with a bag over his head. CRM 114, the double dolly shot, see you next Wednesday, Jimmy the Raven, White Doves, and Helicopters at Sunrise. All of these director trademarks for some very famous directors.
And let me have a question. Are these in many of their movies, like Hitchcock being in the movie itself?
Yeah, so it would be like if I said a MacGuffin, and the answer is the Hitchcock films. Okay.
The Helicopters at Sunrise isn't Coppola from Apocalypse Now, since that was the only movie that was in, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, it was the only movie that Coppola had that in. So no, this director has worked Helicopters at Sunrise into the most unusual places.
Well, Dana, I'm deferring to you. I don't know any of them. I have one guess.
Well, I mean, I would have guessed Apocalypse Now, too, except you're right about that. It only appeared in that one film. So I guess you should go through the list once more for everybody, if you don't mind.
Sure. Cillian Murphy with a bag over his head. CRM 114. The double dolly shot. See you next Wednesday. Jimmy the Raven. White Doves. And Helicopters at Sunrise.
Go ahead.
Are any of them documentary filmmakers?
No.
Okay.
The Cillian Murphy with a bag over his head. Is that anything to do with Danny Boyle?
That is a good guess. No, it is not Danny Boyle.
Okay. Anything to do with Peaky Blinders?
No, that's his TV show. Hey. No, this All is right. So this director actually uses other people with bags over their heads too. It's just frequently Cillian Murphy.
So the only one I think I might know is the CRM 114. And I think that has something to do with Dr. Strangelove.
It does. And the director of Dr. Strangelove is...
Well, Stanley Kubrick.
That is correct.
But I can't necessarily use it with other Kubrick films. That I have to remember that.
No, you're correct. So that's where it first started. There was a piece of equipment called the CRM 114 discriminator in Dr. Strangelove, and ever since then he would use CRM 114. He'd like work that. So like it's Serum 114, which sounds like Serum 114 Clockwork Orange. The Morgan Eyes Wide Shut is it's room C114.
Nice.
As in CRM for room 114. All right. Discovery's cool. Registration in 2001 A Space Odyssey is CRM 114.
Okay.
So,
all
nice
right.
job. That's a bell for you.
All right.
None for
and,
me.
All right. So you have those out there. And Laurie, yeah. It's your turn.
Okay. I am going to ask this question this week. It's a movie list question like Kira's, but it's pertinent because since I'm in Philadelphia at this moment, all my questions are about movies about Philadelphia. They either are set in Philadelphia or Philadelphia's in the title. And I have seven of them, and they should be pretty easy and fun. The first one is which film was nominated for a Golden Globe for the best motion picture that's a comedy or musical? And I'll give you a hint. This was in 1972. That's the first one. The second one is which Philadelphia film set in Philadelphia won the best original song. It was a song in 1993. And the rest are all supporting actors. I'm going to give you five names of supporting actors who are either nominated or won. You tell me the movie. First one is Robert De Niro. Second is Ruth Hussey. Third one is Robert Vaughn. The fourth one is Burt Young. And the fifth one is Sylvester Stallone, with a reminder that it's for supporting actor, not best actor. So nominated for Golden Globe for comedy or musical, one for best original song, and then five supporting actors either nominated or won: Robert De Niro, Ruth Hussey, Robert Vaughn, Burt Young, and Sylvester Stallone. I'll give you like 1.5 each.
All right, Kira.
I mean, the 1993 best song, I mean, that's from the movie Philadelphia, right?
It is. That's written by
the Bruce Springsteen song.
It is. Bell for that one. Very good.
All right.
Okay. Dana, you want to take an easy one or a tougher one?
Well, I don't know. It depends how you think this is easy or tough. Ruth Hussey was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for The Philadelphia Story.
She sure was. Give yourself a bell on that.
She played Liz Embry. And so who were the others once more?
Robert De Niro, Robert Vaughn, Burt Young, and Sylvester Stallone, and as well as one movie that was nominated for the Golden Globe for comedy or musical.
Well, Burt Young isn't that Rocky?
Rocky.
It is Rocky. Yeah. He was, I think, he was worked with Burgess Meredith on that.
Right.
Okay. Kira, do you want
more? Well, I was going to say Burt Young too, but more importantly, Burt Young was the chauffeur in Back to School.
That's
he did
correct.
Such an excellent job in that movie. He was probably the best actor in Back to School.
And that is more important. I agree. Kira, do you want to take one more?
No, because I was going to take Burt Young. That was the only other one I knew.
So we're looking for Robert De Niro, Robert Vaughn, and Sylvester Stallone nominated or winning for supporting actor. And the film that in 1972 was nominated for a Golden Globe for best motion picture that was a comedy or musical. We'll leave the rest out to the audience.
All right. Great. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Are you there?
Peter and Bernie.
Hi.
Is the household item computer model a vacuum cleaner?
It is not a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, that's a good guess. I like that.
That is a fine guess.
And I have a question.
Yes.
Annapolis is the capital of Maryland. Mm-hmm. After whom was Maryland named, and after whom was Annapolis named?
Well, Maryland was named after Queen Mary.
So which one?
Of William and Mary, I believe.
No.
Or is it the earlier? Is it the? So it's not William and Mary. It's the.
No.
It's earlier. It's mm-hmm. So it's the Queen Mary, who was the daughter of Henry VIII.
No.
And Catherine of Aragon. No?
No. Then, after that?
Then it's the... Okay, is it the Mary who was married to Charles I?
Yes.
All right.
Third guess. Henrietta Marie.
All right. Okay.
Good. Now, the Annapolis question is harder.
Well, this came up once on the show, and I don't remember. It may have been even me who asked it. It's not a noble woman. It's somebody who was married to a prominent person in the Maryland colony. And I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yes
and
no.
Okay. I don't.
That's good. You're very close.
That's about as far as I can go right now.
It was originally named after Anne Arundel Calvert, the second Lady Baltimore, the wife of the Lord Proprietor of Maryland. But then when it became the capital of the state in 1694, it was thought prudent to rename it after another Anne.
Oh, all right.
And which Anne was that?
1694. So is this a royal Anne then?
Yes.
So...
not Anne Boleyn, is it?
No.
No, that was
too early.
It's Anne... Well, 1694. Was it the then queen? There is a Queen Anne of...
It was actually Queen Anne when she was Princess Anne.
Right. Queen
She ascended to the throne in 1701, I believe.
So she would be the daughter of... No, not Charles II, James II, then. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Complicated, but you made it through.
All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m., almost at 7. And we do hope you can join us over the course of the hour. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I will take as many calls as we can. Just wanted to remind you that our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, coming from Philadelphia. Normally teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, let me give you a couple questions. Halloween will be here next Sunday. So I'm beginning to think in terms of Halloween questions. So according to a study done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago, right. That's not made up, by the way. There actually is such a place. So according to a study done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago, women, not necessarily men, because they're not mentioned, women responded most strongly to the smell of what non-chocolate candy? And they were using various candies to see how women would respond. I'm not sure why, but anyway. So according to a study done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago, women responded most strongly to the smell of what non-chocolate candy?
And is this a specific brand or just more like
chocolate? Yes. It's a very much a specific brand.
Jolly Rancher.
A very interesting guess, but no, not that.
And I saw the look on Kira's face. I believe that...
Perhaps Kira responds most strongly to Jolly Rancher. Yeah. I would.
Is it something minty? I just thought mint would be the way to go.
I would say no.
Okay.
And when it says they respond strongly, it doesn't mean they responded positively, though, right?
Yes. You could take it as they're positive. Yes.
Oh, it is positive. Okay.
It is positive.
All right. Yeah. So not licorice, then.
What do Jolly Ranchers smell like?
Well, it depends on the color of the Jolly Rancher. I'd say flavor, but, I mean, nobody knows the flavors.
Okay.
It's like red.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like red.
Well, my husband gets after me for saying red is a flavor, which of course is not a flavor. But
no, it's totally a flavor. Your husband is incorrect.
What does Greg know? And it's not minty. So, okay, it's going to be and something very aroma, filled with aroma, right?
And you don't, for instance, Jolly Rancher, you might have to put in your mouth to really get the flavor of it. But yeah. I don't know if it really has a strong smell. You know, when you just take the wrapper off. But this, I think they're using this as, it's not something you put in your mouth. You just smell the particular candy and they enjoy that smell. So once more, according to a study done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago, women responded most strongly to the smell of what non-chocolate candy?
Oh, pink Starburst.
No, not Starburst. So, okay. But it's a well-known candy. It's
pink is a flavor too, like red, right?
Yeah. Okay, second question. Who are the, I told Kira I was going to ask a Simpsons question, and here it is. Who are the four Best Actress Academy Award winners who have played characters on The Simpsons?
Oh. Well, Kira, this, you should run the table on this one.
Hilariously, my first thought is Glenn Close, but then I'm like, oh, that's right. Yeah, not Glenn Close. Still has not won her Academy Award.
So once more, who are the four Best Actress Academy Award winners who have played characters on The Simpsons?
Oh, Meryl Streep.
No.
Oh, yes, she has.
Has she?
Oh.
Well, that's interesting. She wasn't on that list. Okay, I'll give you a bell.
We know she's won an Oscar. Okay, how about, I have a wild guess. I don't watch The Simpsons, but how about Marlee Matlin?
No.
Oh, I thought I read that she was on The Simpsons somehow. Okay.
That's very interesting. Okay. Yeah. I want to look that up too.
Yeah. Sure, you can't support me on the Marlee Matlin, huh?
No, now I'm actually just second guessing my Meryl Streep. I just thought I remember her saying, "You're bad, Bart Simpson."
I didn't see her on the list. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't remember seeing her name. Although you could easily be right.
Yeah. And hopefully my studio audience will bleep loop that and let me know for sure.
So once more, according to a study done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago, women responded most strongly to the smell of what non-chocolate candy? And when I say strongly, in a positive way. And who are the four Best Actress Academy Award winners who have played characters on The Simpsons?
You do have Anne Hathaway on your list, though, right?
Yeah, but she didn't win for Best Actress. She won for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right, got it.
Okay.
Kira, I'm going to ask Kira this before. Does somebody like Charlize Theron, is she a Simpsons kind of person? I'm
trying to think if of somebody she is, it's one of the later seasons that I haven't really been watching.
So I'm not guessing. I'll withhold that guess for now. Okay.
The studio audience says yes, right? Because wasn't she Reverend Lovejoy's daughter?
Yes,
I'm correct. She did say the line, "You're bad, Bart Simpson."
So your studio audience said yes to Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep, yeah.
Okay. You know,
we have to trust our studio audience.
I want my bell. There we go. I feel better now.
It was a reluctant bell, that's for sure.
All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. Please. Yeah, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the bordering countries of several countries. You tell me the country. And that's three of them.
All right.
The first one is really easy. Venezuela, Brazil, Suriname.
That's Colombia,
right? No. No, Suriname
The third country is Suriname.
Brazil, Suriname, and the Atlantic Ocean.
Then it's Guyana, right?
You are right, Guyana.
Correct. Yeah,
I said that was an easy one. Okay. Here's one a little trickier. Turn the page. There we are. There we are. Okay. Syria, West Bank, Israel, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq.
Did you just want Palestine?
He said West
Bank. The West Bank is Palestine.
Sorry. I didn't
know
that.
How about Jordan then?
You're right. Okay. Yeah. And one more. Let's see. This one's a little tricky. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, China.
Well,
I don't know.
So you're telling me that there's only one country that borders all these?
Yes.
Is it Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan, correct.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very good. You want to do one more?
All right, one more. Then we got to...
One more? Oh. Okay. This is easy. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Arabian Sea.
Kuwait?
Kuwait, yeah, or Oman, I guess. Kuwait.
Oman.
Is it Oman?
Very good. Very good. You got them all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Ah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Jared from Philadelphia.
Hi, Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Hi. I have a couple of guest answers and one question.
All right.
For the director trademarks, is the double dolly shot trademarked by Spike Lee?
It is Spike Lee. Yes, that is correct.
And is Cillian Murphy with a bag over his head Nolan Ryan?
The baseball player? No, but you're very close.
No. Christopher Nolan. Wrong Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. There we go. Yep. You are correct. Uh-huh.
I'm stunned that you know that. Yeah.
All right. I have a question, and I'm going to recuse Lori from guessing because he already knows the answer.
This is my son, by the way, so that you know.
Oh, you've given me away. The Seminole Tribe of Florida is the owner of what internationally well-known business that is identified, I would say, with Americana and American culture?
The Hard Rock Cafe. Oh, they make bank with that. So yeah, good on them.
They paid just under $1 billion for it in 2007, and I believe it's quite profitable. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Nice hearing from you, Jared.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Feel free to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
Is it?
Kira, sorry, it's your turn.
Kira?
Yeah. Sorry, I was still thinking of the Seminoles. You know, they do their yearly, like their powwow. Their yearly powwow is held at Hard Rock Cafe in Sunrise, Florida, which I love.
That's cool.
Let's see. There we go. So when listed in chronological order by the date on which they entered the Union, Delaware's the first of the 50 states and Hawaii's the 50th. And if you list them alphabetically, Alabama's the first state and Wyoming is the 50th. What is the only U.S. state that holds the same position on both lists? And I will go ahead and tell you that position is 18. And it's more of a Josh question, I know. It's like lists, but you
get it. Give that question once more, if you don't mind.
Sure. When listed in chronological order by the date on which they entered the Union, Delaware is the first of 50 states and Hawaii is the 50th. But when you list them alphabetically, Alabama's the first state and Wyoming is the 50th. What is the only state that has the same position on both lists? And I've even spotted you that position is 18.
So Dana, I think the way to think about this is forget about the entrance to the Union. If we listed the states alphabetically, what's 18th? Because that's going to be the answer, right?
Yeah.
So that's my contribution. So we're going to be about in, I don't know, the ends. Okay. And it's going to be, I don't know. So I'm just going to guess here, New Jersey.
It is not New Jersey, which I think was one of the original 13 colonies. So
well, that would disqualify it. Okay.
Wait a minute. So are you saying that so this was the 18th state to enter the Union.
18th state to enter the Union, 18th state alphabetically.
All right. This requires a little more thought. Alphabetically. Yeah.
So if we just get the alphabetical thing, we're good to go.
If it was alphabetically, I would say maybe Louisiana. But that's not the 18th state to enter the Union. Well, is it the 18th state to enter the Union? Is that the 18th state?
It is the 18th state to enter the Union and the 18th state alphabetically. That's about Louisiana.
That's nice all job. Right. That's very good. Nice work.
All right. Yeah, only because it's right in the middle of the alphabet. That's sort of
yeah. Well, that was a good hint. That's a good mm-hmm. question. Otherwise, it'd be impossible.
Okay. All right. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Poppy from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hey. So I just want to say, first of all, Lori, I'm a born and raised native Philadelphian, so please give my regards to Broad Street.
I will do that. Tomorrow I'll see Broad Street.
Yay, thank you. So yeah. I've got two guesses. One was about the movie. I don't remember the question, but it was Sylvester Stallone was one of the people in there. Did you get that answer yet?
Not yet.
Okay, I got Rhinestone for that. Was Rhinestone correct for that?
No, he was not nominated for supporting actor for Rhinestone.
All right.
But the movie does take place in Philadelphia, though, your hometown.
Dang it. All right, then. I'll keep working. the only other one I have is for the director's signature picture, the helicopters at sunrise. Is mm-hmm. that James Cameron?
No, it is not. It's a fine guess based on Cameron's work, but it's not him.
All right, that's the only two I had. Thanks so much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. All right. We're about halfway through, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Lori or Kira, we'll start with you.
In 1975, computer scientist Martin Newell created a mathematical model of what familiar household item? Since then, a version of this item has shown up in a variety of animated pieces, from Monsters, Inc. and Toy Story to The Sims to an episode of The Simpsons. Also, I gave you some director trademarks, and I want to know the director. We have four left. The first is See You Next Wednesday. The next is Jimmy the Raven. The next is White Doves. And the last one is Helicopters at Sunrise.
I have a question, Kara.
Yeah.
Is the mathematical model question somehow related to the director trademark question in a way that will unlock things?
No, I mean, it's related in as much as it shows up in a lot of movies.
Okay.
But unlike the director trademarks, this household item shows up in movies from different directors.
Okay. And it's not one of the trademarks you've mentioned kind of sneakily or something like that.
It's not,
right?
No.
Okay. All right. I have questions about movies that are set in Philadelphia, and I am looking for a picture in 1972 was nominated for the Golden Globe for the best motion picture, but in the category of comedy or musical. All the rest are supporting actor nominations or wins. Robert De Niro, supporting actor, Robert Vaughn, and Sylvester Stallone, but of course not for Rocky. I think he was nominated for best actor, but not for this film, supporting actor. And that's all I have for now.
All right. And according to a study done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago, women responded most strongly to the smell, and most strongly in a positive sense, to the smell of what non-chocolate candy?
How about Juicy Fruit?
No, that's a good guess, because that does have a nice, very pleasant smell.
It really does.
But no.
Okay.
So who are the, it's an actual candy. It's not gum.
Okay.
So, you know. And who are the, other than Meryl Streep, who Kira got, who swears to me that who was on The Simpsons.
Lovejoy's daughter, I even give you the character.
Our audience supported that. So it's got to be true.
Who are the four Best Actress Academy Award winners who have played characters on The Simpsons other than Meryl Streep? Okay. Best actress. So don't say Anne Hathaway. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Lori, I think it's your turn. Do you have something not too long?
Yeah, I think it's short. And Kara, you'll decide whether you are recused from this or not. This week there was a documentary on American Masters about Helen Keller. It was very interesting. From 1920 to 1923, she and Annie Sullivan appeared in vaudeville to make money. They were on stage and Helen Keller would speak about her life and answer random questions from the audience. And she was asked, who are the three greatest living people? And I want to know what her answer was. I'll give you a hint. One of them is a politician. One of them is a scientist. And one of them's an entertainer. So when asked the three greatest living people, Helen Keller mentioned, and she wasn't given the categories. I'm just giving that as a hint. One's a politician, one's a scientist, and one's an entertainer. Who are they?
Well, I almost said Thomas Edison, but he's not necessarily a scientist. He's more of an inventor.
You know, it's the correct answer. And I didn't want to say inventor. It'd be too, yeah. And I do think he's a scientist. So give yourself a bell for Edison. Very good. So we're looking for a politician and an entertainer.
Can I guess on the, if Kira wants to go ahead, I'll put her.
I'm recusing myself because the question was accidentally sent to me with Lori's introduction.
Oh, all right.
So I'm just going to say Helen Hunt for a Simpsons character, and that'll be my guess.
The entertainer. This is, yeah, it's somebody who's pretty well known still today.
Yes.
So like I said, Al Jolson or something?
Al Jolson's a good guess. It's not correct.
I'm looking Chaplin?
Yes. Charlie Chaplin's the right answer. I was going to give you a hint. Like Al Jolson, she couldn't have enjoyed as much as she could have enjoyed Chaplin, I think. I don't know. But
well, I don't know how she could have enjoyed Chaplin if you worked in silent film. That would have.
I know that would have been. She met him, and that might have been one of the reasons she was meeting.
All right. Okay. All right.
And the last one's a politician, and we can leave that one out there. It's a bit of a surprise. That would be my only clue.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Is the politician, is it Debs, Eugene Debs?
It is not Eugene Debs, but that's an excellent answer given her politics.
Right, yeah, okay. Let's see, the helicopters at sunrise, is that maybe Zack Snyder?
It is not Zack Snyder.
And Jimmy the Raven, that's not Quentin Tarantino, is it?
No, significantly earlier than Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, Cecil B. DeMille.
Closer in time. That Raven died in like the 1950s, but no, not Cecil B. DeMille.
Okay, I'll leave it to Dana. The See You Next Wednesday is John Landis.
It is John Landis. That's correct.
Good.
Yes. Okay, who I just saw a couple weeks ago, an excellent documentary he made called Slasher, about an auto salesman, a guy who does auto sales promotions around the country. It's hilarious and interesting for anyone who cares. All right. The women candy with the strong smell response, is that Circus Peanuts?
It's not. That may come up next week, but no, not Circus Peanuts.
You didn't say it was a positive response. So.
Kira mentioned that, and it is a positive response.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay, and some of the best actors, the Simpsons. I have to say, there's far more than four that at least I could figure out. But there's Meryl Streep, which you already mentioned. Olivia Colman did one a couple years ago.
Yeah, Olivia Colman is one of them. Yes.
Okay, Elizabeth Taylor.
This is true.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. Well, this list is completely bogus then.
By the way, yes. did you register my Helen Hunt that I said earlier? Because she's on there. She should be on that list.
Yeah, Helen Hunt.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. And Reese Witherspoon.
Hello.
All right.
Yeah, she played McBain's daughter.
Or
Wolfcastle, Rainier Wolfcastle's daughter. And Frances McDormand has done a character. Don't remember which, but I remember when she was on. Susan Sarandon was, what was she? Was Bart's ballet teacher when he was the masked ballet guy.
Good.
And Anne Bancroft was, played a psychiatrist for, Marge's Fear of Flying, especially way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Well. This list is a total disgrace.
Maybe it was 40 Best Actor Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah, maybe it was.
Which one hasn't been on?
Okay, and then the computer math model, that's not the the desk lamp. The Pixar
lamp.
Oh,
the Pixar desk lamp? No, it is not.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And then the question I have, so these are all words in foreign languages, so the word in the language. So in French, it's marmoset. In Farsi, it's apple. In Korean, it's, well, it's kimchi. And in Spanish, it's whiskey. What's the English equivalent?
Gosh.
Whoa.
Your line is a little noisy. It's not coming through too well. So, let me think.
Okay. Let me see. So in French, marmoset, which is wistiti. In Farsi, it's apple, which is saib. In Korean, it's kimchi. And in Spanish, it's whiskey. What's the English equivalent?
I don't know.
I don't know. No. A go-go.
Cheese.
Yes.
As in, say cheese when you take a picture.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's good.
Well,
right.
That's good.
Okay.
That's fun.
All right. Thanks. Great show.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. It's not a lot, tremendous amount of time, so I can't give you a list question. So let's go with this.
Did Tom get all the people on your Simpsons list, or are there
still
more?
No, I have one. I have two left on my list. So, sorry, where was I? Oh, yeah. So what is the most, according to the American Medical Association, what is the most common broken bone that people, what is the most commonly broken bone in the United States, according to the American Medical Association?
I'm going to say the little toe.
No.
Oh. You mean the most commonly broken toe that, or broken bone that goes to get fixed?
Just the most commonly broken bone, period. That you would go in and have treated.
Because they don't do much for the little toe.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'm going to go with the pinky finger.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Kara, up to you. Hmm. You get all the other bones.
I have no idea.
I think it's going to be upper body in the arm. That would be
I'm wondering, if it's going to be.
But I've guessed twice, so take one.
So.
Pick a bone.
Ulna. Broken ulna.
No. So what is the most commonly broken bone, according to the American Medical Association, what is the most commonly broken bone in the United States that you would go and have treated as a broken bone? And
I have a guess from my studio audience on that is the collarbone.
That is absolutely correct. The clavicle is the most commonly broken bone.
All right, studio audience.
Your studio audience is really good tonight.
Yeah, he is. He's on the
ball. All right, there we go. All right, I'll give you one more very short question then. What was the first individually wrapped candy sold in the United States for a penny? It's still around.
Root beer barrels? Oh, wait, no, they don't.
How about Mary Jane's?
Not Mary Jane's, not root beer barrels. What was the first individually wrapped candy sold in the United States for a penny? It is still around today. All right, so you each had a guess, and we'll let the callers see. Let's go to a call.
Hi, this is Gene from New York. Hi, this is Gene from New York.
Hi.
So these days, you know, Hollywood has a lot of sex, drugs, and violence. So I thought maybe, so I saw these three movies, and I'll tell you the plot and see if you can tell me what it is. You know, the old movies don't have so much sex and violence, I guess. So the heroine has an affair with the married man on a cruise, has his baby, and then pretends she's the governess and he adopted her. And then her boss threatens to expose him because he becomes the governor, and so she kills him. And then the governor pardons her, but then dies.
You're making this up as you go along.
No, I swear.
No, this totally sounds like something from a 30s film. Totally.
I'll tell you the year. It's 1932.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this totally sounds like a plot you would get at a pre-code film.
David's wheelhouse.
All right, just go over it. Just, if you don't mind, just go over it once more.
So she goes on a cruise, meets a married man. She doesn't know he's married. Then she has an affair. She has his baby, but he won't leave his wife. And then she goes to his house and pretends she's the governor and pretends that he adopted the baby. And then later he becomes the governor, and she works for a newspaper. Her newspaper reporter boss wants to expose him. She marries him to silence him, but he still wants to expose him, so she shoots him dead. And then later he pardons her, but then dies, the governor.
I love that. Who's one of the,
can you tell us a star?
I don't know if I've seen it, but is Barbara Stanwyck in it?
It is. It is.
Is it called Illicit?
Forbidden.
Forbidden. Okay. And Adolf Monshu is the other guy? Is the man?
Yes. Yes. Ralph Bellamy and Adolf Monshu. Yes.
All right.
Can I tell you one more? Can I tell you one more?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. That's very fun. I enjoyed that.
Okay. So this one is, it's a complicated plot, but one of the issues is that this woman is married to a successful lawyer. She has a happy life, but she gets bored and runs off with some guy, takes her kid with her, then becomes a junkie, and some gangsters find out who she is, that her son is the son of this lawyer, and then they kidnap them, and then they want to kill the kid. And so she, in order to tell them where she is, she hides the kid under the bed, then scrawls a message on the window, and then jumps to her death from the window.
Well, this is a tremendous movie, by the way. This is such an entertaining film. It's like 60 minutes long. It's called Three on a Match.
Yeah,
and it's Ann Dvorak and Bette Davis and Joan Blondell, and she writes. She throws herself out of the window after she writes where the child and her are being kept, like what room number, what floor. She throws herself through the window and dies on the street below, and then the police, who just happen to be there, read her message that she's written on her nightgown, and then come up and save her. But it's just a tremendous little pre-code movie, and Three on a Match. Yes.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so sex and violence is not new in Hollywood.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Can I just guess the politician for Helen Keller? Is it a U.S. Yes. politician?
It is not.
Is it Mussolini?
It's not Mussolini. But you're getting closer with Mussolini in a way than with somebody else. I don't want to characterize this politician like that, but it's not American. And it's somebody who is seen as authoritarian. I think that would be fair to say.
Okay. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Good guess.
Thank you very much. Good. I enjoyed your questions very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. God, I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah. Anyway, okay. Vertigo. Does that answer your question, Kira?
Vertigo.
I bet you're talking about the double dolly shot. No, that was the double dolly shot is a Spike Lee signature move. Not sure that the vertigo effect includes two dolly. I don't think it's a two dolly system to do that. But
what is that movie Vertigo? That was the first movie that Hitchcock filmed to employ what?
The vertigo effect.
What is that?
That is an effect. Then I think it involves one dolly, but it's the character stands there, and the camera moves away from the character as it zooms in on the character, which gives the impression that the background is falling away from them.
You're right. That's a good way to describe it. Yes,
they call it. It's called zoom in, dolly out. Also famously used in what other film? Famous. It's a famous shot.
I think famously used in a lot of other films.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone will remember it from, do you remember in Jaws when Sheriff Brody's on the beach and he looks in the distance and he sees a fin flip around and they look like, it gives that sense of like, my God, he saw the shark. He knows what's going on. They do a zoom in. Zoom in, dolly out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's where I first remember it from. What is that? It gives you this nauseating feeling like, oh my God. Anyway, getting back to this other thing, because I just researched this. You talked about fractured, and I thought of my own body. What have I broken? And here's a question. What's the name of the bones between the knuckles?
The tarsal?
Yeah.
No, carpal. I'm sorry, it's a carpal.
Good answer.
It's carpal and metacarpal.
Right. Metatarsal.
No, carpal is the fingers, tarsal is the toes.
All right.
Yes, you're going to zero in on it.
The phalanges? But that's not between knuckles because that's the tips.
Or you include those. The tips, your fingers, how many, like in your hand, in your right hand, say, you have how many of these?
How many? Are you just talking about how many hand bones?
The bones between the knuckles, including the tips of the fingers, and
14,
the thumb.
14? Is it 14?
It's
yes. Did you say 14?
I did.
That's correct.
All right,
the thumb only has two. What are they?
No.
We already did them. Carpal, metacarpal, and phalanges.
No.
They have different names?
What did you say? I think you touched on it.
Carpal, metacarpal, phalanges. Those are the three different parts of the finger.
They are phalanges. That's the word.
All right.
Like, I broke phalanges in my life. Never broke a clavicle.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing? It's nice to see you
thanks.
Getting some rain. We've got the 49ers game on, and I see it's raining pretty hard over there.
Yeah, it is. So supposedly.
Okay, whatever is left. The scent on candies. We've got a few bit of honey.
For what? For which?
Actually, let me go bit of honey as the first wrapped candy.
No.
Okay.
Penny candy.
Or the scent that women can instantly recognize.
No.
How about good and plenty?
For what?
Again, the scented candy?
Yes, that is correct. Good and plenty.
What was
good
it?
And plenty.
Good and plenty.
No.
I don't know. I'm only going by the research done by the Smell and Taste Research Foundation in Chicago.
Well, I think that's impossible, sir.
I agree with its impossibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's licorice. Why not? Also, I think someone cleared the bench on Oscar winners in The Simpsons, but nobody has mentioned, I maybe have missed it, did he mention Liz Taylor?
Yes, that came up.
Oh, okay. All right, that's all we can think of around there, too, because otherwise everything was taken. Okay, we're done.
All right. Later. Thank you. So we have a few minutes left. Let's see. Who has an extremely short question?
I do, and I'm not on next week. I have a Halloween question, and it's very short.
All right.
Okay.
All right, throw it out.
Jamie Lee Curtis appeared this week on the internet in what she's going, the costume she's wearing for Halloween, and it's a tribute to a movie character that she did not play. That's a hint.
Yep.
Who is she going as? So
she's
I think
Kira's smiling. So
yeah.
Tippi Hedren in The Birds, I think.
No.
Right? Well, she's going as Tippi Hedren, right?
No. Not according to the picture I saw. Since it's 5-2, it is a Hitchcock film. But it's not Tippi Hedren.
I'm sorry, her mom. She's going as Janet Leigh in Psycho.
Yes.
Yeah, that is sorry.
Like, not Tippi Hedren.
Wrong Hollywood mother. Don't mind me.
And she's going as Janet Leigh playing Marion Crane wrapped in a shower curtain. And the picture is hysterical. Really good work.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Kippy Hedger.
Hi, I've got a guess for the Simpsons actress.
Yes.
Would it be Kathleen Turner? She played Malibu Stacy's Endeavor.
With this list, so if you think it's Kathleen Turner, although she's not on my list, then I might just give you credit for that because I don't know. Does that sound?
She best
does she have an Oscar?
I don't think she does.
Oh, she doesn't.
So you're right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there, Teddy and the Tenderloin.
Hi.
And I had Elizabeth Taylor also for The Simpsons because she did Maggie's first spoken word, I believe.
Yeah.
And I wanted to guess Cher also.
Gosh.
She was not best actress, though, was she?
She was.
Oh, I thought she was. Okay.
I'm going to give
Olympia Dukakis was supporting.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Yes.
Yes. And for me, I thought the broken bone would be Skull, just from football and things. And is the candy, the penny candy, is it a brand name?
It is a brand name, yes.
Okay. Is it Bazooka bubble gum?
It is not gum, no.
Okay. And then I had one more answer, but I didn't write it down. It's gone, whatever it is. Anyway, love the show. Sorry it had to move. Thank you guys for doing it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. Time to clean up here. Kira, what do we got? You know, I got one.
Oh.
The White Doves, that's a current director, isn't it?
Yep.
Prince.
Well, you have until I get to that point in my...
All right, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So the computer scientist, Martin Newell, he created a model of a teapot, also known as the Utah teapot. The teapot shows up in like Toy Story and Monsters, Inc., all sorts of animation. You see the same teapot. Jimmy the Raven was first hired for the movie You Can't Take It With You. And Frank Capra loved him so much that he put him in every other movie that he made after You Can't Take It With You. Helicopters at Sunrise, that is Michael Bay, who loves them so much he managed to fit them into the beginning of a Meatloaf video. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Starts with Helicopters at Sunrise, even though it doesn't need to. And finally, White Doves. Did you get there?
No.
John Woo.
Oh, all right. Okay.
In that Philadelphia movies. Yeah, Philadelphia movies. Robert De Niro was nominated for Silver Linings Playbook. Robert Vaughn was nominated in 1959 for The Young Philadelphians, of course. Sylvester Stallone played Rocky, but it was in the movie Creed. And my favorite one is nominated for the Golden Globe for Best Musical, was the movie 1776, obviously set in Philadelphia. Helen Keller's greatest living person, who's a politician, was Lennon. Vladimir Lenin. So that surprised me. Along with Edison and Chaplin, that's quite a list. And that's, I'm out.
All right. What was the first individually wrapped penny candy sold in the U.S.? That's Tootsie Rolls, 1907. The best actresses on my list, my completely bogus list that nobody got, Halle Berry, Natalie Portman, and Jane Fonda also appeared on The Simpsons. Let's see. I think that's it for me. Anyway, I just want to say thank you to everybody who called in. Thank you to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, Dabo Valley College.